This podcast is brought to you by LearnMyCraft.com. Now, we've all experienced the frustration of not having enough time to practice your art. So whether you're a total beginner or an experienced artist, LearnMyCraft has got you covered. With easy-to-follow tutorials using coloured pencils and pan pastels, you can level up your animal art skills today in as little as 45 minutes. Make practice fun and easy again at LearnMyCraft.com. Welcome to the Animal Art Podcast. On the show today, I'm lucky to be chatting with Pearl de Chalane. Originally from Johannesburg, South Africa, Pearl is a coloured pencil artist living in North Carolina in the USA. She's well known for her realism drawings and is also an experienced teacher of coloured pencil, calligraphy, sketchbooking, and watercolour art. In this episode, we talked about the best way to draw feathers, why pastel matte paper is best for layering vibrant colours, how each artwork teaches you something new, and how artists use AI to create the perfect reference images. Today's drawing challenge is a budgie face, which is number 67 in the Practice Journal Pet Portrait Edition. This is all coming up on the show today, so get your materials ready. If you're drawing along, hit follow and subscribe, and let's go.
Here we go. Hello.
Brilliant. Hello. It's so lovely to finally meet you.
Yes. If you can call this meeting, but this is great. I'm so excited about this. I really am.
Me too.
This whole journal, this journal of yours is just such a wonderful idea.
Thank you.
For people that are starting out, I think that this is just a great way for people to learn different textures.
Yes, definitely, because it's filled with just so many different things, even things that I've never done before as a full-time artist. Yes. And it's just been very nice to explore.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you got any other this is the Pet Portrait Edition.
Yes, this is the Pet Portrait one. And very soon, like tomorrow, the British Wildlife Edition will be available. So I will send out an email and Instagram messages and whatever when that's available on Amazon and Learn My Craft as well. Yeah. So that's all ready to go now.
Brilliant. Yes. Oh, wow. I can't wait for those.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm so excited about that one too.
Now, are you working on pastel matte today?
Today I'm working on, this is the Strathmore Bristol 500 series paper that I've been testing out for a few weeks now. And I really like it. Like, it doesn't take too much pastel, but it takes enough to form a base layer. I've never actually tried pastel matte. What are you using today?
I'm using pastel matte today, hence the colour.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, this is a slight grey colour, actually. Mm-hmm. I love pastel matte. I think my favourite might be pastel matte.
Oh, yeah.
Drafting film and pastel matte, I think, are pretty much on a par for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. I've honestly never tried either of those yet, so I'll be very excited to at some point.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
thanks for letting me join you. This is great.
Thank you so much for agreeing to it.
I'm also going to be using pan pastels.
Okay. Fantastic.
I always think that makes the background go faster. I see you use them quite a bit too, so I'm guessing you feel the same.
Yes. I do think it does speed up the process of colour pencil, because it sort of gives you, it blocks in the colours really easily and gives you a really nice base layer to work from without trying to hide the paper too much, yeah. I think.
It does save a lot of time, I think.
Otherwise you're forever fighting with the tooth of the paper.
Yes, and I'm not a purist. I'm not one of those that will just stick with coloured pencil only. I've used watercolour and pastel, whatever works.
Have you used watercolour as a base then, like let it dry and then coloured it on the top?
I have.
Oh, wonderful. How did that go?
Well, that's if I'm using watercolour paper like an Arches, this is a couple of drawbacks. You know, the paper cockles, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it's best to stretch your paper before. You can stretch it after, but it has its issues. And then, of course, you've got the waiting time, mm-hmm. which is a pain in the butt. But the other thing is, I think it does change the texture of the paper just mm-hmm. a tad. But it's not a huge issue.
Mm-hmm. So. I feel like pastel adds like another layer if you get one into the paper. I feel like I can add more pencil if I've got pastel as well.
Yes, it's almost like it gives a tooth.
Yes. But a colored tooth.
Yes. You don't have to struggle to get all the, I think my pastel mat has got some marks on it anyway. You don't have to struggle to cover up all those light white spaces that can be so.
Yes.
A bit of color here.
So I'm just sketching, freehanding my.
Very brave to do that.
I've honestly been practicing. This is what I've been doing in this practice journal. I've freehanded all of them so far. And it's been quite fun because normally with portraits, I use a light box.
Yes.
And I don't get to practice freehanding or, you know, practicing that skill of looking at what you're doing, which, you know, the freehanding gives you quite, you know, well. So I've been enjoying actually doing it, but yes, it is scary. And obviously it never looks exactly the same, but I'm not trying to make it look exactly the same.
Yeah, well, we're not photographers.
Yes, exactly.
So,
photocopiers.
Yes. Unfortunately, I struggle with doing this photorealism. I want it to look like the photo, mm-hmm. and I just wish I could loosen up a little.
I honestly have the same issue. Like I've tried to do a looser style, like, you know, when the paper shines through a bit and it's like sketchy, and then I just can't help blending everything and trying to make everything look real. Like I guess it's fighting against your instincts of what you really want to do. And, you know, realism is a beautiful style as well. So,
yes. You know, the painterly way of doing things. I sometimes think that maybe I should go on a course and force myself to do that, to loosen up.
Like a loose style painting.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, I think so, but I don't know if it would actually suit me. I think I would always tend to want to make it look more real.
Yeah.
That's me. What can I do? We all have our habits.
Have you tried like most mediums then?
I've done watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm rubbish at it.
It's really hard, honestly. Like I've tried once and I was like, no, this is not for me.
Well, you know, I did enjoy it. At one stage in my life, I decided I wanted to become a botanical watercolorist.
Oh, beautiful.
I went ahead and I went on a course for several years and mm-hmm. I did it and I did loads of plants and vegetable fruits and things like that. And quite frankly, I don't think I ever want to see another flower again in my life.
Really? Is that how much you painted them then?
Well, I was determined that this was going to be something that I did.
Yeah.
And I went into it wholeheartedly. Have you mm-hmm. done botanical at all?
I've drawn a flower once, and my goodness, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
I thought it takes longer to do than fur.
You might be right, you know. It may, but then again, it just might be that we're used to doing fur or feathers.
Yes,
and
that's
we're not
true.
Used to doing, I guess a botanical artist would think exactly the opposite. Oh, fur must be a nightmare.
Probably.
So.
Yeah. Be fair, I have only tried once, so.
I have done a few, and then I've also done a big, lots of fruit and vegetables. Now, I do enjoy fruit and vegetables, that I must say. Mm-hmm. I really do. That is fun.
Like still life things.
Not so much still life. It, mm-hmm. I did one that's huge. Just the whole full sheet of pastel mat with fruit and veggies from edge to edge, which was fun to do. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had just moved to the United States. My husband was still in South Africa, and I had no friends and nothing to do. It was during COVID, and so I just sat and did this, and I finished it very quickly, actually. And I enjoyed that. So what other – do you only do pets?
Yeah, because I mostly just do commissions. It's only till recently that I've had a chance to draw a tiger. The last time I actually drew a tiger was before I was a commission artist, which is 9 years ago now. So, yeah, since then, since starting my pet portrait journey as a professional artist, I haven't not drawn pets or pet or people with their pets. It's all, everything I've drawn has been a commission. Yeah. So it's been quite nice to have this book and do something different. That's no pressure.
Yeah,
build on my skills. I don't have to worry if it goes wrong on like a commission. And it's just that, and it also doesn't take up too much time, because I think the reason why I've never drawn anything but commissions is because I feel like, well, if I'm going to spend 10 hours on a drawing, it might as well be my next commission for my clients so they don't have to wait. You know, I sort of feel a bit guilty to be working on something that isn't for my clients. But these only have been taking me about an hour, maybe an hour and a half at a push.
Yeah.
So it's been nice to not feel too guilty about taking an hour just for myself to do something a bit different and to learn something new.
Yeah. And I'm definitely going to try and do some freehand. I only got my journal last week. So I haven't had, this is the first thing I'm doing in it.
Oh, fantastic.
So I think it's going to be fun, but I doubt whether I'll be able to finish it in an hour, but I'll do my very best.
It's all right. It's not about finishing it.
Yeah.
I'm going to warn you now, this journal is addictive. Like, I just really love
it. I can see that. I struggled to choose which one I wanted to do with you, because I thought I actually wanted to do them all.
Yeah.
And I think the next one is a horse's eye that I particularly like. And
yes.
Is it the Bengal tiger? No. One of the cat foods.
Yes.
The Apache cat food.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
To do.
Yes.
Have
it's
you
like
done
a
that one?
Shell one.
Yes.
I've only done the first two pages by myself, really. And normally I would go through the book like this, like chronologically, like I wouldn't just randomly pick one. So it does slightly hurt my perfectionism, the perfectionist inside me, that I have to do a random one for the lives. But at the same time, it's quite fun to not like go against my instinct to just do it one after the other.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it for you.
Geez, I know. So how many of them have you completed in this journal?
I don't know. What's this? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I think this will be the 12th.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have they all been done live, or have they some of them you've just done on your own?
The ones I've done on my own are being converted into tutorials.
Oh.
So anybody that wants to learn how I use pan pastels and colour pencils with different types of paper, I've been like changing up the paper as well, can learn how to do it on my platform, learnmycraft.com. So there's tutorials on there, and I'm adding a few every week as I'm editing them.
That was very clever to turn them into tutorials as well. It's brilliant.
Well, people were asking, like, they've got this now. Now they wanted help doing them. So I thought, okay, well, let me just slowly work my way through every single exercise. Like, even the ones I'm doing live with you and with other people, I'll probably draw again as a tutorial.
Yeah.
But there are 100 in here. So even if I do a few lives that aren't necessarily being converted into tutorials, there's plenty of exercises in here to go around. And I'm also doing the same thing with the other practice journals. So I've already done a few for the British Wildlife one, currently editing those. And then my next one, which will be coming out, I think maybe next month, is the African Wildlife one.
Wonderful.
I'm really excited.
I'll relate to those, seeing that I'm from Africa. So.
Oh, nice.
You've been to Africa?
No, I have. Oh, actually, I've been to Morocco.
Okay, that's North Africa. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, you really?
That's the only time I've been to Africa. I actually went on a caving expedition. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, so I've never actually explored Africa itself.
It's a beautiful place. It's vast. Mm.
Yes.
Needs to be explored. It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Whereabouts are you from in Africa?
Johannesburg, South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And did you live there all your life?
Yes, born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
Born and raised there. I lived 4 years ago. I arrived in the United States.
So not long then.
No. I am a citizen now, which is great.
Wonderful.
I'm holding my husband to ransom, so he can only get his citizen green card and citizenship through me, so he best behaves.
That's funny.
Yeah, so, okay, I think I might do a little bit of blue.
So what got you into, like, drawing animals then, specifically?
Gosh, I don't know. I think, you know, I've been following you for ages on Instagram.
Oh, thank you.
Just seeing how lovely they turn out. And, I mean, portraits of people are great, but they are fairly tricky. And I think you've got to be so good at it, and I'm sure you are. I would like to actually get involved in more portraits.
Mm.
But anything that's colourful, though. And I think that's probably what attracted me to birds.
Yes, you've done a lot of birds, haven't you?
Yeah, I did quite a few roosters, and that I enjoy. But as long as it's got colour.
Yeah.
So I think that's the reason I don't do as many pet portraits is because I get so depressed if I have to work with browns and greys. It just does. So... These little snippets in this journal is going to be just the perfect size. I think this one needs to be done. Now, you never used to be into art. Were you always interested in art all your life? Because you used to work for NASA, weren't you, an engineer?
Yes, I was. No, I've always loved art. I was just told from a very young age that it's just a hobby. So you should choose something else to do with the rest of your life, and you can be an artist when you retire. So on that note, I thought, okay, well, I like, you know, space and rockets and all that kind of stuff. Let me just be an aerospace engineer and space engineer and see how that goes.
Yeah. How long did you do that for?
I guess 10 years, I suppose. I got 2 master's degrees in it, and then I did an internship with NASA, and then I was doing a PhD. I worked a bit for a couple of years, and then I was doing a PhD, and during my PhD is where I started drawing again.
Yeah.
Because I sort of got to the point where I slightly had enough of engineering.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it and everything, but I was surrounded by people just so passionate about what they did. And I just wasn't feeling it. And I thought, oh, what's wrong with me? You know, like, I'm good at this. I like this. Why can't I be passionate about it?
Yeah.
And I was literally scrolling through Instagram. And I think it's Jess Stanley artist. She's a pet portrait artist.
Oh,
I remember seeing one of her pet portrait drawings. And I thought, wow, you can do that with color pencil. Like, that sounds good. Let me just buy some and then just get started again. So that's sort of what got me back into art again.
Yeah.
I was living in a tiny studio apartment and it's very hard to paint. I normally use the paint quite a lot, really. But it's very hard to paint. So that's how I got into colour pencil, just by seeing her work and getting started with just a pack of pencils. And I've never looked back. It's just been a whirlwind of new opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are you based in London or in the UK?
Yes, I'm in the UK.
I used to be in France. Weren't you in Monte Carlo at one stage?
No, it was in Nice.
Nice,
the south of France, yeah.
Very close.
I move a lot.
That's it. And is that out of choice?
Yeah, well, just because me and my husband both work from home, we're not necessarily tied down by location. And we were just trying out France, and then I had my daughter, and then we decided to move back to the UK. Because it's, you know, we know how the UK works in terms of living and business and that kind of thing. Because running your own business can be quite difficult in a foreign country.
Yeah. How long did you live in France for?
3.5 years, I think it was. Yeah.
I love France. We go to France often. It's just such a lovely part of the world.
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
And I think particularly if when we go to France, we prefer to go to the sort of the more countryside, the tiny little villages. It's so, the French people can be a little obnoxious sometimes. They have that reputation. But you know what? What I found is that, yes, that is so when you're in the bigger cities. But when you're in the countryside, the French people are just the best. Mm. And I enjoyed that.
Gosh, how have you done these feathers? You've done so well.
How have I done these feathers?
Yeah, you've got... Oh, I see. So what is this?
Okay, so what I did is I just took a photocopy just for the sake of speed.
Right.
I did a photocopy and then I flipped it over and I covered it, the back, with brown pan pastel.
Oh.
And, and it just transfers it to, you know...
You can transfer all of those
those lines on the feathers can take you forever if you don't have some kind of a crutch. So I'm just interested.
That is very clever. I wish I had thought of that now.
So I'm going to take a pastel. Have you drawn your daughter yet?
I did when she was a baby. It's quite difficult drawing babies because they've got such smooth skin.
Yes, it almost looks artificial.
Yeah, you've got to really get that baby smooth, soft, like blend the hell out of it kind of thing. But yeah, it was definitely tricky. And to make it look like her, because I do find when you're drawing someone you know, especially with portraits, your memory starts to take over rather than the picture you're seeing, and it's so hard to like stop that happening.
Yeah.
Otherwise it just ends up looking nothing like them, really.
You know, but isn't that the whole thing about colored pencil? You've got to draw, and this is one of my mantras.
Mm.
You've got to draw what you see, not what you know.
Mm.
Because the moment you start putting your heart and soul into something where you think you know what you're doing, it just doesn't work. You know, you have to think of things as shapes.
Mm-hmm. Is that sort of how you approach your birds and things then? Like you sort of split them up into shapes as you're looking at the picture?
Well, I try not to think of I try not to think think of them as birds, mm-hmm. and I try not to think of what I'm doing right now as feathers. Mm-hmm. I'm just mark making.
Yes, you know? Okay.
And then once the main marks are down, then you start to refine them. But I try not to think of what I'm doing. In fact, sometimes when I have a problem, and I learned this out of that Betty Edwards book, Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain, decades ago, we turn your work upside down.
Oh, yeah.
If you really struggle,
yes.
then your brain doesn't comprehend it as something that you know.
Mm.
And then the right brain takes over and,
makes it a lot easier, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So.
I was just going to say, I used to do that quite a lot when I first started as a pet portrait artist because I was just really struggling to get the likeness.
Yes. Yeah, but that's with portraits, that likeness. And you know what? It's all down to the eyes.
Mm. Yes.
And you have to. And the proportions. One of my favorite tools is, what is this thing called? A sphere. I think they're called dividers.
Ooh.
Yeah, but this one's not a very good one. It hasn't got very sharp points and it's quite loose.
Right.
But when I do portraits and things, inevitably it's the spacing. That's what I use anyway.
Okay, so that would help you see the spacing and just compare it a lot more.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I also use pins for things.
I have one of those. I have one of those, but I've never thought to use it for that.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the spacing, the width of an iris, the spacing between eyes.
Yeah,
you know, like that is
the nose and the eyes.
Yes, that changes the whole the face, the character of the face. It turns it into somebody else.
Even that width between the eye and the side of the head. That,
yes.
I feel like that's that bit I normally really struggle with.
Yeah, and so if you don't get the proportions in those spaces absolutely right, then you're in trouble.
Mm.
Yeah.
Even if you can trace it perfectly with a light box, sometimes you can slightly lose it when you're trying to then add the colour.
Yeah.
Because it's another dimension of trying to make it look more 3D.
I had a really strange. You know, if you there's an app on the phone that you can put in as well.
Mm-hmm.
That you can take half of your face,
right,
and duplicate it,
mm-hmm.
and flip it around and paste it to the other part side of your face. So you've got a mirror image of one side of your face.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever done that.
No, I haven't. I'm sure it would look nothing like me.
It looks nothing like you.
That's so weird.
It is. So I had a student once, Lisa, and she had this tracing of her grandson that she was doing. And she did a great job. She was really doing a great job. But somehow we lost it. We just couldn't get this likeness.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized that she'd done is because the face was pretty much straight on,
mm-hmm.
she'd flipped the tracing and she had done just that. She had replicated the left side on the right side and we couldn't. And one day I looked at this, you've got pencil on one side and pencil on the other. What is happening here? And with that we realized that was it. She traced it and flipped it. And she just could not get the likeness there.
Yeah, you just couldn't. You can't because your face isn't symmetrical like that.
No, not at all. I learned that from by getting spectacles. They never sit straight on my face. So I don't know if the one ear is higher, my nose is skew, or if my eyebrows. I don't know what it is.
You never know. Human portraits are definitely a new dimension of mastery.
For sure, for sure.
I do enjoy them. I actually used to draw people quite a lot when I was younger. Like as a teenager, I'd always draw like my friend for a portrait for them when it was their birthday or something. So yeah. Some of my friends ended up having like 4 or 5 portraits of them.
It's just a fantastic gift. And I mean, I bet you, if you looked at those, you would see how you've progressed over time. I've got some, a few of my things that I did years ago when I started, and I think, oh my Lord, maybe I should take it out the frame and work on it a bit.
No, it's where you've come from, isn't it? Like that's the magic, I think, of being an artist. You're never the same artist like ever again. Like once we finish this drawing, our next drawing is going to be better because we would have learned from this one. So we'll never be like this again. It's just so weird. Is it like a moment in time, that drawing has captured your skill and your knowledge at that specific moment.
Yes.
So they're quite magical in that way.
It is. For you looking at where you've come from, because I don't know about you, but I often think, oh, I'm going to give this up. I'm useless. You know, it's just, you know, that nothing's working and the sun isn't shining. I'm a failure.
Have you ever ripped up a drawing?
No, I have not. I refuse to start over. Oh. I'm terrible. I'd rather fix a mistake.
I've done it twice.
Ripped things up?
Yeah. I have been so annoyed once. This normally happens to me after I have like a long break from drawing. I feel like I forget what I've done. Like especially like I try and take off every Christmas. So I try and take off at least a month of no work. You know, don't do any work. Which, you know, never quite works out, but I do try. More often than not, I come back and the first drawing I try and do always turns out terribly. Like it's like I've forgotten how to use my hand.
Yeah.
And I have to rip it up. Yeah, it's just all gone.
That's what it's like everything. You know, if I had to get on a bicycle, God forbid, I mean I could never master the art of riding a bicycle. I fell off all the time. Mm-hmm. But they say
it's definitely hard.
I could never do it. I was such a klutz. But they say, if you know, it's like riding a bicycle. Once you know how to do it, you can always do it. You just need
I don't understand that saying.
Yes.
It doesn't work for me, that saying.
it just doesn't. You have to practice. It's just, and people, nature also find this. This is what works for me is, people say, oh, I can't draw a stick figure. But, you know, everybody can if they want to, you know.
Why would you want to draw a stick figure?
I've never thought of it that way. Oh, that's brilliant. I like that. Why would you want to draw a stick figure? I like that. You have to keep at it. I think if a plastic surgeon had to go away for a year, the last person that I would want touching my face because he's been out of practice for a while.
Yeah, honestly, you do have to keep it up, don't you? Because you will forget. Your brain changes so much all the time.
It does.
So what are you doing right now then? You've filled in all of these lines, these feathers. Can you give me a tip about feathers? Like, what's the difference between feathers and fur?
I don't think there's much difference, actually. You know, everything layers over each other.
Yeah.
Leaves the same kind of shadows. But my biggest thing with fur and feathers is that once you've got the background color, the detail, you can't put every detail in. You drive you nuts, you know.
That's what I was thinking. Like, even with this one, there's so many tiny little details. Like, how do you do that?
Well, I think you've got to be a bit of a con artist into making people think that they're seeing what they they're seeing, you know, so that they think, oh, we're seeing a bird full of feathers. In fact, you've seen a bird with some feathers that have got some detail.
Yeah, but not all of it.
But not all of it. It's just not possible. You know, I just, I use the embossing tool a lot. I haven't on pastel mat. I don't tend to. I use the embossing tool a lot.
Yeah, I like that as well.
And of course, I think you also use on the slice tools. And the slice tool is what makes it, but it's the layering. I'm going to do, just to get away from that black a while, I'm going to work on these green ones here. No, I'm not going to use them.
Usually work like dark to light or light to dark or mid-tone or what's sort of like your process?
I think each project dictates how you should work.
That's true.
I think I tend to work from dark to light.
I do too.
And I think that's the first person that ever when I was first exposed to colored pencil, there was this young girl from Pretoria that she was great. And she worked that way. And, she said that's how she's always done it. It's not necessarily the right way.
Because I've heard with colored pencils, you need to sort of do the opposite.
But there's some things that I've worked differently. You know, I think you have to assess it, and I think that's something that comes with practice. I'm sure you agree with that. That you pick up something and you say, I could never do this on pastel mat.
I really want to try pastel mat. I must give it a go, especially in this book.
You have to be patient, and you have to be very, very light touch. But I mean, it is just incredible the number of layers you can put on.
What brand of pastel mat do you suggest getting?
The only one that you must use is Clairefontaine pastel mat.
Okay.
I have tried other ones, and I can't say they're rubbish. They don't work for me. Okay, don't work for me.
Yeah. Okay. And is there like a specific number or something? Is it just Clairefontaine pastel mat?
Just Clairefontaine. Yes. So this is one of them.
Okay.
See, that's it there. And you can buy them. This is a small pad of color. It's 18 by 24 centimeters. And you get these four colors in it. You get wine, dark blue, light blue, and sand. And they've got a glassine in between each page, so you get a nice these little pads. In fact, I think you might even get a smaller one.
I really like it. That looks good.
And to work on the dark colors, I did a corset on the charcoal pastel mat. It's not quite black, it's charcoal. And I managed to get that very, very pale skin onto that, so you can cover so beautifully. Whereas to do that on a black paper, for instance, would be difficult. You get that color. You know, the black is going to show through to a point. If you've got layers of color and you want to put a bright white whisker, you can use a white. It looks, and it's bright white. It's just fabulous.
Okay. Now that'll be really fun. I haven't tried to do, when I was younger, I remember using like colored paper and pastel paper with some like thick pastels, but this is like, you know, 10-year-old me. I've never actually tried to do it properly with the knowledge I have now about animals and fur and color and depth. So it'll be really interesting to try that out.
Yeah. I think it's fun trying different textures.
Well, that's what I've been most excited about this book, because like I said, I feel like I'm only allowed to work on commissions most of the time, and I haven't been able to try out different things because I know, okay, this paper works well with this technique, and I know the portrait is going to come out perfectly, so the client will be happy. And that doesn't give you much room for exploring other mediums and other papers and other techniques, because, you know, if it goes wrong, you've got to start that commission again. And then it's delayed. So I've always found it quite difficult to deviate from what I do. Yeah. But that's why I've really been loving this specifically, this practice journal, because I can deviate. I can try something new. The other day I tried just Derwent Lightfast products. So I did the Derwent Lightfast paper with just Derwent Lightfast pencils. And I wanted to see how their products, you know, just by themselves, without adding all of the nice Faber-Castell and Caran d'Ache pencils in there with it, like how it would turn out.
Yeah.
So it was quite. It's a fun project.
Did you use the Derwent Lightfast paper as well?
Yes.
And what was it like?
I do quite like it. It's very It's thick, so it gives you quite a lot of layers. But the tooth is a lot rougher than, say, this Bristol Strathmore paper. So it's a bit more tooth. And I prefer smoother papers, to be honest. It depends on what you prefer. If you like a lot of tooth, like you use pastel matte, then maybe you'll like the Derwent Lightfast paper. Mm. But I prefer smoother papers. Like before this, I was using Winsor & Newton super smooth paper, which basically has zero tooth. But it's just really lovely, and it's bright and it's white, and it's just very satisfying to do with colour pencil, because I feel like colour pencil is so much more brighter on very white paper. So it depends on what your end effect is.
Yes, of course. So you then... Have you tried drafting film?
No, I haven't. I would like to. I had a live with Holly Rebecca
on
Wednesday. Yes, and she was using drafting film, and it looked so interesting. I like that you can completely erase parts.
Yes, that is the fun part of drafting film.
Mm.
But she was using PolyDraw. Now, I've never tried PolyDraw.
Okay.
So that was interesting to hear that she'd use PolyDraw.
Mm.
Now, I used to use Graphics Duralar.
Okay.
Well, that was all I knew way back then. And I did all my very big roosters.
I love your roosters.
Thank you. I did them.
So beautiful.
Thank you. I did them all on the Graphics Duralar, and it worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I have since discovered that there is Graphics Drafting Film. So there's two things, Graphics Drafting Film and Graphics Duralar, which is, they're both a polyester film.
Right.
And according to the manufacturer, because I contacted them, I said, what is the difference between these things? One is so much more expensive, and I heard the spandied about that you must use the drafting film and not Duralar. What is the story?
Yeah. What did they say?
Well, the difference between the two is certainly the price. But it's like you know, when you Winsor & Newton watercolors, you get the student grade and the artist grade.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like that in a way. But what they did say is that it's more the way the medium reacts to the paper. I did find that I could get an extra layer or two on the real drafting film. And I did enjoy that. So,
oh, okay.
So you have to be very careful with your layers. I was wondering that,
like, because this drafting film is really smooth, right? So how many layers can you really put on with it, the colour pencil?
So the thing is, you have to be super, super, super light with your touch.
Okay.
And if you're very light, you're not light.
No.
Then you're going to have to learn how to lighten up. Otherwise, you're going to get maybe three or four layers on, and that's not going to make you happy.
Yeah. Okay.
Once you learn the lightness on the drafting film, I can get 8, 9, 10 layers. But
of like Faber Castell pencils. That's what I'm using right now. Is that what you're using?
Actually, on this, I'm using a lot of Pablo's.
Oh, I love Pablo's.
I really like working with them on pastel matte. But my favorite pencils are polychromas for sure. And maybe that's because I started with them.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's just your first love.
Yes, your favorite.
Yeah. What are your favorites?
I think the Luminance are my favorite just because they blend so nicely. It's very satisfying.
Mm.
And I do like how vibrant they are. They're incredibly vibrant when you put them down. So I do like that, but I like layering. I feel like I can't just do one brand of pencil because they do have different benefits.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So I can't just stick to one.
No. You know, it's a strange thing. I don't know how many sets of pencils I have. And yet not one of them will have the right grease. I don't know if you find that.
Yeah. Not sure about green because I don't actually get to use green very often doing pet portraits. But I definitely find that, like, polychromos have the best grey selection. They have so many beautiful, cool and warm greys. Other sets just don't have the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I find it so useful for white hair, white fur, the cool grays.
Yes, yes. But I mean, Luminance have they're like the Sepia 10% and that is just
they're very nice
so
too, yeah.
Glorious.
Yeah. Oh, I came across, because you know, Luminance came out with their two like special colors or something like a couple of years ago, like their extended version. I bought the whole set then.
Yeah.
And it was like this sort of like light greeny grey colour. I can't find it now. Oh, it's here. This colour was one of those colours, I think. This is called Middle Vidirus? Vidigorous? I don't know. I can't read that.
Oh, you mean there's a coloured pencil I don't own?
Yeah, so this was in their like extended range. I remember it had like two extra pencils. I was like, well, I might as well buy the whole set now that they give me another two extra pencils. So that was when I bought the full set. As I'm glad I waited. But yeah, this is a lovely colour. Lovely green.
Looks like it could be a very useful green. It's like Prismacolor have pale sage. It's such a beautiful green. But Luminance have got incredible colours. I just love their colours.
So good.
Just very expensive. You're going to take out a mortgage to buy them.
They are expensive, but they're just worth it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing it professionally, then, you know, the commission payments should pay for your materials at least.
When you're working, do you also jump around?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, not in your seat.
Both. You won't hear me shuffling around in my chair. But yes, I do. I used to do it like bit by bit. But now I'm just like, I do all of it. Because I do think I'm faster. Because I'm trying to practice my speed as well with these books. So I do think I'm faster if I'm building up the whole thing as one, rather than finishing a point and then moving on. What about you?
Yeah, yeah. So I always start off thinking I'm going to work from top right to bottom left, so that my work doesn't get all messed up. then I start with all good intentions and I think I'm going to finish the eye and then I'm going to move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get bored. So I move on
to
something else. And then I'll go back to the eye. So I've just done a bit of the eye and now I'm working on the feathers and I'll pop over to the green.
Mm.
Because something just catches my eye and I just need to deal with it.
I guess it's my bit of work by color. So if I'm using, say I'm using this, what is this, burnt umber. I look at the whole picture and see where else I can use a burnt umber. Is that what you do too?
Yes, I think I do. I think you're right about that. I think I do. Whilst I've got it in my hand, it's like if you drop something on the floor and you bend down to pick it up, or while I'm down here, is there anything else I need to pick up?
Oh, look, all these pencils on the floor.
Have you tried the Prismacolor?
I haven't, no. I've heard they're similar to Caran d'Ache Luminance, though. Is that true?
Well, probably similar in texture, in softness.
Yeah, texture.
But definitely not in quality.
Mm. Yeah, they are the like a good starter pencil, I think. So I've heard anyway.
Yeah, I would think there's nothing wrong with them, and they are getting better. At one stage, a lot of them would crack. I suppose we shouldn't be slating products. But anyway, a lot of the wood would crack and then the whole the core of the pencil would slip out.
You know,
which was not ideal.
But it doesn't do that anymore.
And the other thing is that if you looked at a pencil straight on like that, it would not be in the middle of the shaft.
Do you really?
So when you sharpen them, it would cause problems because you'd have a long slither of wood down the one side. So that has gotten better. But they do have some great colors.
Okay.
They have these blacks called black raspberry, black grape, black raisin.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Well, what are those differences?
Oh, they it's like a black with a purple in it and a black with a blue in it, a bluey purple in it. They're just beautiful. And they have pale sage, that green, which I think that green that you've just shown me from Luminous looks like.
Oh, yes, like this one.
Yeah, that might take. So,
yeah.
Now, when you're working, do you listen to music or do you listen to podcasts or do you listen to audible books?
I don't really watch stuff, to be honest.
You watch stuff?
Yeah. I've tried listening to music and sometimes, say I need to get a portrait done and I need to super concentrate, I do put on YouTube and just try and listen to some music. But I find it's not, I guess, distracting enough, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Like I need more distraction than that to produce good artwork for some reason. What about you?
I tend to listen to audible books.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's got me hooked. Mm. I just love that.
See, I would, but if I'm listening to something that's too motivating, like I try to listen to like business podcasts or art podcasts, I find them too exciting and then I just end up just not drawing and just listening. So
that can happen.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm just too motivated now to go and do something on my website or, you know, or do send that email, you know. I can't draw anymore.
Listen to podcasts. What kind of business podcasts did you listen to? There's so many good podcasters.
Yeah, there are. Like, I think sometimes it's anything business related, small business related. So there's like the Art Biz podcast. That's really good. I actually had the honor of being on it once, which was nice. She's a lovely woman. I can't remember her name now. That's very useful. Art Biz podcast. And then there's Art History Babes. Have you heard of them?
That's no, I'm a good podcast. These down.
Yeah. Like there's these three artists basically, and they just chat art history.
Oh.
And it's just so interesting. So interesting. Like too interesting. And they just talk about a different subject every week. And like just the history of art and specific paintings and historical, it's just so good. I really like it. Art History Babes. It's worth listening to.
Art History Babes.
Yeah. What about you? Yeah. What podcasts, audiobooks or things you listen to?
Well, Audible books, I listen to quite a range of things. It can be from, I love murder mysteries. I love suspense thrillers. I love anything that's forensics based. Real forensic stuff. And then when I listen to something heavy going, like a forensics book, then I will listen to a frivolous Victorian romance after.
Lovely.
And it's just sometimes you just need, you know, you've listened to something that's really heavy and you just can't. But that's the Audible. And the podcasts, I like to listen to motivational podcasts. I'm trying to think of the name that I like, guys that I like to listen to. But, you know, sometimes I also have the television on a station that it could even be, say, maybe this demo that we're doing, this chat that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And just listen to it, even though I'm not watching.
Yeah.
But it's bizarre. And then when you do
sit down to actually watch.
And then when you listen, watch the TV program another time, you think, I know what's going to happen, but I've never seen this.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen it, but I heard it. I know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that all the time. It's like, oh, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do like watching stuff, mainly just Netflix stuff. I just find it gives me that art zone where I feel like I can really just get into my drawing.
Yeah. If I listen to music, well, it was more, I'm a calligrapher as well. So when I was doing calligraphy, I could never listen to anything that had words.
Because you didn't start writing the words.
Yes. You've no idea how many times I had to. Yeah, it wasn't funny at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, you have these, I used to do hundreds and hundreds of certificates for corporates, you know, long service awards.
Oh, did you? Wow.
And you're writing these names and it's mind-numbingly boring. And you hear a song and you'll be bebopping about, you know, going down the street and you'll write next minute you've written the name Robin Street or something. You know.
Oh, no. System. Not listening to rap then, certainly writing down swear words.
Oh gosh, yes.
That would be bad.
Yeah, but that's the thing about colored pencil, is you can listen to things with words, which helps me. My mind can play tricks on me.
Oh, yeah.
Time, you know, I can start thinking of an argument that I'm going to have with someone the next time I see them, and then it just escalates into something nasty.
Yeah.
You know, especially if somebody's done something to you that you're not happy with.
Like if you're thinking, you're overthinking then with your drawing.
Yes, you start overthinking things. So with listening to music with words or an audible book, definitely, I think, does help.
Yeah, I think so too.
Keeps your mind busy.
How do you normally sign your work when it's finished?
Oh, my goodness. You know, this is one of the reasons why I would never be able to enter into any competitions.
Oh, really?
I'm absolutely rubbish at taking my own reference photos.
Uh-huh.
I just don't get it right. And
it's hard. It's an art in itself, photography.
Yeah, and I haven't got the patience, maybe. Maybe that's more the point, the patience part of it. I just want the... But then again, I've got a huge amount of patience looking for stuff on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But to take my own photo, I struggle. So I do tend to get them on the internet. So I will just trawl through the internet. I'll go on to Unsplash, Adobe Stock. Just Google. And then sometimes you'll find things, and then you've got to contact the photographer. And sometimes they get back to you. Sometimes they never bother.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, a lot of photographers are very, very good at saying, yes, please, you know, just acknowledge me.
Yeah.
I've only had one guy that he wasn't nasty or rude. He just said, you know, if you go on to, I can't remember what site it was, and then you pay for it there. And I'm quite happy to pay for a photo. You know, photographers can't work for nothing. And especially if it's their livelihood. It's like us as artists. You're not going to do something and expect people just to have it for nothing.
Yes.
It's work, you know.
Exactly.
And it's taken you a long time to learn the techniques that you've gathered. So I'm quite happy to pay for. I usually land up paying. Oh, talking about, I must tell you this. Sorry,
okay.
Going off the subject a little.
Right.
I was asked to do something recently, and I could not find the best picture that I wanted. So I went on to, and I know I might get a lot of flack for this, and a lot of artists are very much against it. I created something on AI.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So what are your thoughts about AI and art?
I think it's it can be used as just another tool, like a light box, like tracing, like a slice tool. It's another tool to, like you said, really good for reference photos. So if you wanted to create, I don't know, like a beautiful surrealist landscape, you can just type it all in, it'll produce something, and then you can either like copy it in your own style, or like it's just another way of like Photoshop.
It's another tool.
I sort of see. Yeah.
Well, that's a good analogy, like Photoshopping.
Mm.
You know, some people say that, you know, he Photoshops these photos, or so what? Most things these days are Photoshop, so it doesn't
matter. Photoshop is also another skill, because I'm awful at Photoshopping, but I use it quite a lot for doing my mock-ups. So I know the basics to create mock-ups for my commissions, but don't ask me to, like, I don't know, get rid of anybody's fat or something. I can't do that.
Yeah, I think I'm with you with that one. I also know just the basics, and it's a great tool. I wish I knew it better, because maybe I could create better
mock-ups and reference images. Yeah.
Smudge, that wasn't very clever.
We're coming up to our hour now. Oh, we've come up to
kidding?
Our hour now.
Yeah. Well, look how far you are, and look how far behind I am.
I'm not that far behind. It was just beautiful. Oh. I love your colours you've used.
The colours that you've used are so brilliant, especially on the nose and those feathers. I think these feathers need to be a lot more blue, so I'll definitely bring in my blue. But I've used my slice tool and hangers a lot. You haven't used your slice tool, is that?
No, I haven't got around to it. This is the first time I haven't finished one. As I'm given, but there's a lot to do, I suppose. So I think I'll carry on finishing it once we've ended this call, and then I can send you a picture.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah,
awesome. This has been huge fun.
So much fun, Ryan. Doesn't the hour go by so quickly?
It does. I mean, when you said it, we're coming to the end, I thought, no, that's not possible, you know, because I've still got the beak to do.
And, yeah.
But you know what?
An hour goes by very quickly.
Time goes fast when you're having fun.
It really does. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so pleased that you invited me. I really am so pleased about that. And I will post mine when I'm done as well.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have to do this again sometime as well. Maybe we'll choose something that has less details.
No, where's the fun in that?
Oh, right. More details, sorry.
We won't do
that. Maybe
we'll do that Bengal fur.
Yes.
That should be quite a nice challenge. Love to.
Okay.
Would love to. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Pearl. It was lovely to get to know you, to chat with you about art.
It was great.
And I hope to do this again with you soon. Everyone listening, you can rewatch this live on learnmycraft.com. And I hope to see you there. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.